Hold on, we need to talk about that really quick. Welcome back to the Space Case Sarah Show with my hilarious co-host, Benjamin and Kavi. Benjamin was telling us he does not cook. Actually, there's a story behind this too. You do not cook. So in a trade-off of that, you offer to always do the dishes, and you have a system, a document related to this. But first, can you tell us what happened when you tried to cook last night? Can you repeat that story?
I was trying to cook dinner for the kids. I am not a good cook, and I started, I don't know how, very quickly a grease fire, and it sent a big column of fire straight up from the pan to the little oven hood. And my response was not to quickly put it out, but instead I screamed, "Skaploosh!" The kids loved it.
Science! Skaploosh! And so when you achieve, what is it, like all the dishes done,
I was
clean,
wondering
and
how
put
long
away?
Our show would get, this would come up, I guess, episode 3. I made a deal with roommates before my wife, and then I continue the deal with my wife. I cannot cook to save my life. Once trying to boil water, I set the pot itself on fire, but the water itself was not boiling. That's 100% true. I think it's because there might have been a label on a new pot on the bottom of it. I did not know. That was my only guess.
Kavi's face just
I know. As a physicist. As a physicist, I'm so curious.
I have one theory is there's a paper label still on the bottom of a new pot. Theory number two is I put a dish rag or something underneath it, and that's what lit. But I don't know. There was some ash on the stove. Anyway. So my deal with my friends and my wife and family is I can't cook, but I will clean up. I'll do the dishes. I'll clean the stove. I'll clean all the pots and pans and everything. And, I'll try to make this quick, but one day I discovered I did something quite interesting doing the dishes. I put everything away. There was nothing left in the sink, nothing on the drying rack, nothing on the counter anywhere, nothing in the dishwasher. Everything was clean and dried and put away in their respective places. So I called it my dish singularity. Everything was put into one place. So,
and now you have a document that keeps track of how often you have a dish singularity.
Every single time I achieve this. I've done it like 87 times since the first time in like 10 years. It's very hard.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not found the most nerdy show to ever listen to, I don't know what else you're going to find out there, because this pretty much wins. This wins it right here.
There you have it.
I like, he's got dish singularity. Kavi has a dog named Newton. I have a dog named Hubble. I mean, like, this is, we win. I don't know what competition this is. It's probably just amongst ourselves, but we win.
We're all winning.
Apollo. Let's get back to Apollo.
Back to Apollo.
Back to Apollo. We are talking about some facts you might not know about Apollo. I haven't even scrolled through this whole list, so this is hitting my eyes for the first time, too. A bra company designed the Apollo spacesuits. Huh. It was an industrial division of Playtex, the International Latex Corporation, won a contract to build the Apollo spacesuits and sealed the deal. So take that, Victoria's Secret. Apparently, yeah. this is quite the competition show. But who knew? Interesting.
Wow.
And speaking of spacesuits, and part of the reason Artemis has gotten delayed and things that, you know, have been delayed are because of the spacesuits, interestingly enough. Mm-hmm. The spacesuits have really not gotten many overhauls over the years since the Apollo and those missions. And so what they need in order to return to the moon, the suits for the ISS currently don't do the job. They're not going to work. So we've had some issues with all these different individual contractors building the spacesuits for Artemis. And that actually was a reason for it getting delayed once. So apparently they should have reached out to the industrial division of Playtex. I mean, if it worked.
Yeah.
If it works,
were the new suits not supportive enough? Was that the issue?
I don't know. So, all right, here's the next one. apparently, I actually did know this. Apollo 12 was struck by lightning twice during takeoff.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is pretty common. of just the just even the towers and the things that they built getting hit by lightning. That's pretty normal because in Florida, obviously the Florida weather is notorious for being quite stormy, and storms pop up and stuff like that. And so there are lightning towers on top of all of those launch pads, right?
Around the launch pad, there's four incredibly tall towers that are taller than the rockets themselves. So if you can imagine these super tall, like hollow rockets, you can see right through. There's like, they look like powered towers, and they're just incredibly tall, and have this big spirally doodad on top, just to kind of not only attract the lightning away from the spaceship, but also to draw it straight down. I went to NASA for a couple of NASA social events where they invite science communicator people or members of the media to come view a launch. And I went to a launch, and they told us that we had a 70% chance of a launch. Okay, that sounded good. But the 30% kicked in, and that meant sirens, and that meant everybody get inside. And it was like military precision. Everybody go indoors now. And I thought it was the weirdest thing. So I was stuck in the room with the head of NASA at the time, Burdenstein. That's his name. I forget. And he was the nicest guy. We just hung out and talked and shot the shit about what the future holds for Kennedy Space Center and everything. It was nice. But at the same time, we're looking outside and it's barren, and there's like a few Jeeps going around testing things, and no one else is allowed to go outside because lightning was present. And yeah. They don't want anybody outside, not just near the rockets, anywhere. It was ridiculous.
Wow.
They're very serious about
it. That reminds me of the, you're talking about the weather for launching the rockets that can be sometimes perilous. Although in the case of Apollo 12, they were fine. Space weather. Yeah, it's a bit of lightning twice, whatever. There must have been somebody in the control room after that first time. I was like, okay, we survived a lightning strike. That's never going to happen again. 5 seconds later. No, but it reminded me of the solar flare that happened, the space weather that happened between Apollo 16 and 17. Do you guys know about that?
I don't know if I know that story, but
I don't. Share with us.
So one of the cool things that they've been working on for the upcoming Artemis mission has been radiation protection. There's a company called STEMRAD that I believe was involved, and basically, I think both the suits and also the capsule, the Orion capsule itself, going to be designed in such a way as to protect the astronauts from any potential solar flares or CMEs, coronal mass ejections of these energetic bursts of radiation that come from the sun. Now, the reason that we don't worry about this as much here on Earth is that the atmosphere and magnetosphere of the Earth protects us. But in space, you don't really have that. And so what was crazy was that just in between, just after the Apollo 16 crew had gotten back and just before the Apollo 17 crew launched, there was a massive solar flare. And if there had been an Apollo crew in space or on the lunar surface when that happened, it would have been not good. Yeah.
Really?
Like if they were, yeah. Like a serious dose of radiation from that solar flare. If they had been, I think if they had been in the module, then they would have like gotten a big dose, but would have been okay and just would have had to like turn around, go back and get radiation treatment back on Earth. But if they'd been on the surface, it could have been very not good.
Yeah, that is, that is super interesting because we just had a solar flare recently. Mm-hmm. And I guess I've never really thought about that. I did know from listening to an astronaut who his name escapes me, but he helped fix Hubble. And he told us when he came to talk with us that it doesn't matter where you're going in space as a NASA astronaut, you have to sign a waiver that says like, I understand that I will get exposed to radiation. But if you're going up to higher levels of orbit, you have to sign even more like, I really understand that I'm going to get possibly exposed to radiation and that I will need to, not Mike. I don't remember. It was somebody through Blue Marble and I don't remember who it was. It wasn't Mike though. Because I'm really familiar with Mike Masiamo. I'll think of it. If I think of it, I'll shout out his name, but he, so he said, like, even today, like, he has to get checked every year to make sure that he doesn't have any cancer showing up or something like that. Like, that's something that they agreed to get to that level. And there's apparently something going on outside Benjamin's house.
No, I'm in my garage, which is the forward most
part now of
my
mine
the street, and I hear now,
a car alarm is going off outside mine.
Yeah, there was a honking outside my place, and now I hear a car alarm outside of yours. I think we're connected through the
what just space happened
time. That was weird.
That was so weird. Okay, well, that actually segues nicely into my next Apollo fact. An Apollo astronaut conducted a secret ESP experiment. So an extrasensory perception experiment. His name was Edgar Mitchell. He was on Apollo 14. He had a deep interest in psychological phenomenon. So before leaving for the moon, he concocted a test to see if it was possible to transmit his thoughts through space. That is... It was so weird that all these car alarms went off at the same time. This is so weird. So apparently it worked. Edgar was speaking to us from the past through car alarms and car horns. That's so weird. I mean, here I'm thinking I'm going to need to take that out, but that was like, what just happened? Okay. This one I think a lot of people know. I do think it's I don't know, a fun fact and still kind of funny, that all the first few trips to the moon, astronauts had to quarantine themselves afterwards for a while in case they would bring back space germs or something hazardous, right? Oh, yeah. As we're talking about all the
customs as well.
They had the customs form. It was great. They had to write down a flight number and the airline that took them, and they didn't know what to write, so they just wrote spaceship.
I wonder if they had like the same apathetic TSA agents, just like, where are you coming from?
Yeah, right.
This is your pleasure.
How much would you like to claim a one moon rock? Sir, how much is a moon rock? I don't know.
Are you carrying more than $10,000 worth of moon rocks?
Yeah.
On your person?
Probably.
Yeah, maybe.
For sure.
All right, I got one more here and then we'll start kind of wrapping this up, but apparently, we all know that they left behind a mirror on the moon, and they left a plaque on the moon that says, you know, here are the men of Mars and blah, blah, blah. Did you know that they also left behind a work of art on the moon?
Oh, that's not where I thought you were going with this.
Oh, no. What did you think I was going to say?
The poop bags.
Oh, well, we can talk about that, too. They also left behind fecal matter on the moon. But apparently, they left behind a relic, like a little, like a plaque with like a little figurine that's like fallen next to it. It's called the Fallen Astronaut. It's an aluminum sculpture that they left behind. Yeah. But they also left behind poop.
Like they got something from the Louvre really quick and they just threw that up there.
Is that what it was?
No. I just thought
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know that they left behind anything artistic. I know like in the movie First Man, they insinuate that like Neil left behind stuff on the moon and stuff like that. And I'm sure there probably are other things we don't know.
Some astronauts have left pictures of their families up there.
Yeah.
As a nice little, you know,
less romantically, I mean, it's cool. They left behind fecal matter. So
there could be like much less romantic. They could have, you know, like written their names in the lunar regolith in the moon dust, and they would still be here, right? There's no wind on the moon. There's no tectonic activity that would cause things to shift.
Oh yeah.
From what I've heard from stories from Apollo 12 and their sense of humor, I bet you they did some stuff like that. Like that. They left like moon graffiti, like inappropriate drawings or something like that, because they made lots of crude jokes. And I mean, those are on like NASA record and stuff. So,
Yes. Their Playboy centerfolds have been sent up, and the astronauts didn't know it until they're actually walking on the moon and they're looking at this little notepad on their sleeve that was prepared for them on the ground. And they're walking around and looking, okay, task number one done. Next page, task number two. Next page, what the heck? There's a girl there, and Alan Shepard, I think, played golf on the moon.
Yeah,
he had a little golf head built so that he can unscrew the little grabbing mechanism at the end of a pole and then screw back on. a golf head, and then he dropped the ball, which he brought. And then he smacked it, I'm sure, several miles.
Astronauts dropping things and falling over on the moon is one of my favorite things to watch. Like, whenever I'm having a bad day, you can put it to, like, right? Benny Hill music, or, like, just, like, any fast-paced chipmunky kind of music, and just hear them, like, do-do-do-do-do-do, plunk.
That's fantastic. Well, and, yeah, so things have been left on the moon from apparently obscure art and plaques and the people who claim that the moon landing was fake. That's usually the go-to proof, is that there are mirrors that they use to shoot lasers at to reflect off of the moon. How do you think that those mirrors got there? So this has been a really fun episode. I feel like we could have talked a lot more about Apollo, but we have Artemis to look forward to. So let's look ahead quickly at next week. I will actually be on the road. I will be at Texas A&M. I will be recording from there, and I'm training for my astrobiology expedition on the Droides Resolution. But I am, you know, I have a lot of strings with NASA, but I can't get them to change the Artemis launch. So the show must go on no matter what happens. And hopefully, knock on wood, we're going to have a launch on the 29th. Uh-huh. And then I think what the backup dates are the 1st and the 5th, if I remember correctly.
I think
the
so.
The 5th, for sure. I can't remember that second
one.
Maybe.
I think it's one full week after.
Yeah. And then usually if it doesn't days. Launch, then they're going to have to wait a full month for the moon to be back in the right position again.
Everybody
so we are
Snoopy
going to...
floating.
I know! Snoopy's making it back. And then, right, there's like a human figurine that has a name. I think there's a sheep. Like a
Shaun the Sheep from the Wallace and Gromit show.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
And Snoopy from Snoopy. They're going to be the zero G indicators. Soft okay. Cute plus little things. So as soon
yeah,
because
the sheep is from the
ESA,
right?
Floating around.
Yeah.
Mm.
And they're both wearing little astronaut outfits. And there are two mannequins on board Artemis 1. And for the very first time, they're doing something quite interesting, because these mannequins are designed to test the stresses on the human body.
Mm-hmm.
But one is going to test the stresses as they would be on a male body, and the second one is testing for the stresses on a female body. It's the very first time that they've done that specifically for female anatomy and for male anatomy. So we're going to make sure that it's totally inclusive and fully researched for everybody, as opposed to just
super awesome.
It's rated for a man, everyone's good to go. But now it's literally no, rated for men and women 100%. So that's actually kind of a cool little side thing I told my girls about. Very nice.
That is super exciting. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. it's gonna be I think that it's gonna be so exciting. And like I said, tomorrow they're gonna announce where the Artemis 3 astronauts are going to land. Which, right. So this is Artemis 1, and they heard 2024 is the pretty much projected launch of people.
Yep.
And doing the same thing, going around the moon. And then Apollo 3 is hopefully going to land on the moon. And at that point, we will have SpaceX is partnering to build the lunar orbiter so that the whole system will probably be up and running in just a few years if all goes to plan.
Supposedly 2030, 2032, we're going to be having the Gateway station orbiting moon with some regularity, and there's going to be a reusable lander that goes down to the moon, back mm-hmm. up to the Gateway, down to the moon, back up to the Gateway, and Artemis is just going to be, at that stage, it's just going to be something that ferries people to the Gateway and back.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. This is going
to
be yeah.
so exciting. So much, it's so, damn so much to talk about next episode. So if you remember, there was a trivia, well, not a trivia, a sound that I played at the beginning. If you know what that was or you want to take a stab at whatever it was, go ahead and find social media posts on either IROC Space Radio, Space KSARA 22, Fun Fact Science, Science Actually Science, whichever one that one is, and follow us on social media, interact with us. We're like so excited to be doing this. So we love knowing that you're enjoying listening to us and our content and the station. And if you have like music requests or certain things you'd love to hear, let us know, because we are very open Absolutely. And receptive to anything. So We will have the Artemis episode next week. What is our element for the next week?
Beryllium.
Beryllium. So you are listening to the Space Case The Space Case Sarah Show with Kavi and Benjamin here on iRock Space Radio.